being a mom in modern times, modern days, is difficult. As it turns out, mothers have a tall order. That's why we love our mothers. It's a tough job, and you got to admit it's a tough deal. 21 million Americans will call their mothers today on the phone. 125 million Mother's Day cards will be sent in comparison to a measly 75 million Father's Day cards are sent. Hello, what's wrong with us dads? Well, I think the problem is moms are so special. So they get 125 million Mother's Day cards. You don't want to forget your mother on Mother's Day. But there's a mother that people forget about. She's in the Bible. And a lot of people don't even know her name. Does anybody know the name of Moses' mother? Jochebed, right. A couple of you knew that. But Jochebed, the way the Hebrew people would say is Jochebed. That was her name. And the father of Moses, anybody know his name? Crickets. See, nobody cares about the dads. His name was Amram. So Amram and Jochebed. Now, we don't know that from this text. We just kind of hear the mother of Moses. They don't even name her here. Now, in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, we have her name and the father's name, Amram, given. So we know who she is. But she's an amazing lady, and she's living in difficult, trying times. In fact, a time to give birth to a baby, what was going on? They were killing babies. The Egyptians were killing all the male children and drowning them in the Nile River. That was the edict. That's what was going on. Now, before we get into this, a couple things I want to say. Number one, these Old Testament stories are there to teach us important truths, New Testament truths. The churches that don't go into the Old Testament are so much poorer for it because there's promises of even hope for those who read the Bible carefully. And the Old Testament is rich. In fact, I'm reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. He was talking about Israel when he said, in the Old Testament, they all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Remember the rock Moses struck with the rod and water came gushing out and the people drank and lived? That's Jesus. That's what the Bible says. See, Paul is saying, don't you understand? The Old Testament is a picture book teaching of New Testament truth. The rock with water, Jesus was smitten for us. And out of him came torrents of living water. In fact, Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I give, you will never thirst again. So that picture, that analogy of the Old Testament rock was Christ. And then in a couple of verses, he would then go on to say in verse 6, now these things, Old Testament stories, were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So we're supposed to learn as New Testament Christians from the Old Testament stories. In fact, the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. How do we have the patience and comfort of the scriptures and have hope? By learning from the things that were written, the Old Testament, for our learning, New Testament. So this story of Jochebed is actually a story of Moses and Jochebed, and it's written for our learning that we might have hope. And I wonder if some of you moms could use a little hope, because we're living in kind of hopeless times. If you're just part of this world and seeing what's going on, it's pretty rough. Another thing I'd like to say about this story before we get into it is this really happened. This isn't some figment of the Bible's imagination. If you go to a pipe-puffing, cardigan-sweater-wearing institution of college and higher learning, you'll hear people say, well, the Jews never really lived in Egypt. That was just a fantasy the Bible created. And there's a whole group of people that try to say the Jews were never in Egypt. That's disingenuous. I would call it lying. Because history has proven that the Jews were there, and there's all kinds of evidence, all the way from Josephus' writings to even before that, archaeological digs. In fact, even in modern times, there's some kind of amazing things. At a place called Avaris in modern-day Egypt, the Nile Delta, the modern-day name of it's El Daba, which is where archaeological digs, this is a picture of part of the area where they're digging. They uncovered a large Semitic population living in Egypt during the same time the Bible says Jews, Semites, Semitic people were living there. They found that the Jewish sort of DNA and the beards and the whole thing, Egyptians weren't bearded people. Did you know that? That's why you older folks, you know, Yul Brynner was the guy to play Pharaoh. He was the guy. Because the Egyptians would shave all the hair off their bodies. You see that in all their shrines and their carvings on rocks and all that. But the Jews were known to having big old beards and stuff like that. And they found graves and artifacts and evidence. There's actually a papyrus paper they found, Epuer, which was a document of Egypt that describes their history of ancient chaos, the river turning to blood, slaves fleeing, and an economic collapse after they lost all their slaves. Like, this is a writing of history of the Egyptian people that's really kind of an amazing thing in history. So it's not just the Bible that actually says this stuff. It's things they've found in Egypt. One thing you should note, they're always trying to erase Jewish history, because when you hear what happens to the Jews, it only confirms the Bible and the reality of God choosing a people. So they've tried to erase the Jews in Egypt. They tried to erase the Jews ever had a Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The Muslims say, oh yeah, there was never a Jewish Temple Mount in Jerusalem, which is the most ridiculous claim, because archaeological digs in Jerusalem have only confirmed a million times over the Jews had a temple in Jerusalem. Why would the world try to rewrite Jewish history? Even today, they're trying to say the Holocaust never happened, and that was not even hardly a generation ago. How is it that the world could say, oh yeah, that must have never happened? They just made up 6 million dead Jews. Have you ever been to the concentration camps and seen the pictures and the whole thing that happened there? This is before AI could make a fake movie or a picture. There's real evidence, and it's ridiculous. Why would the world seek to erase Jewish history? Because the Jews are the greatest testimony of God's existence in the world today. If there's ever a reason to believe in God, two words, the Jews. They're evidence of God's plan, and it's irrefutable. But with that said, I just want to say this story really did happen, and it happened thousands of years ago, but dangerous times. And even though it was thousands of years ago, you moms today face similar challenges that Jochebed faced. And I'll show you that as we get into it. Let's start in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. It says, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Wow, that's a horrible edict from Pharaoh. Why did he say this? Well, earlier in the chapter, they were told, the midwives of the Jews were told, kill all the babies. All the men, or the, you know, babies that are boys, kill them all. Well, the midwives, they said, okay, got it, but they never did it. And they just said, wow, these Jewish women are so hardy. When they give birth, we can't even get there in time to kill the babies. They just made up a story. But you gotta admire these midwives for not doing what the king said. So the Pharaoh said, okay, if you're not gonna kill the babies, then we'll do it. So he made it a decree that all Egyptians, if you see a male child from the Jews, he's to be taken into the river and drowned. That's the law of the land. Talk about dangerous times to give birth to a baby boy. Well, we pick it up in chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark, a basket of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch. By the way, this is a funny little scripture. Did you know there was a guy back in the 1930s who was reading his Bible, and he said, man, slime and pitch. And he looked it up in the Hebrew, and it was linked to the idea of a petroleum type product. And he thought, surely there must be oil down there in that part of the world. So in the 1930s, he went with a bunch of money and invested and got drilling rigs and started drilling and found oil in this region of the world and became a billionaire. So I just want to tell you, it pays to read your Bible. Anyway. That's actually a true story. So she took the little basket, daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion upon him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister, that's Miriam, Moses' sister, to the Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call for thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, which means drawn out, by the way. And she called him Moses, she said, because I've drew him out of the water. This is a great story. Movies have been made because it is such an incredible story. But this woman, Jochebed, what does she do to save her, the life of her son? But in doing this effort, not only does she save her son, but she gets him ready to be one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth. You see, I love this because this is a dark day in Egypt, but it reminds me of the dark days we live in. Well, Brett, how could you compare Jochebed and her day of the murdering babies? How could you compare? Well, wait a minute. That's exactly what we do. Our nation, it's a dangerous time to be an unborn child in America today. In fact, it's exponentially more dangerous to be a baby in America, not just for the abortion issue. That alone, we've already totally wiped out the danger level here compared to Egypt. But not only that, once you are born as a baby today, man, it's a dangerous place. And you moms, you've got a tall order to keep your baby safe from the world. Egypt in the Old Testament is a type or picture of the world. Godlessness, sinfulness. That's what Egypt always pictures in the Bible. And really, you moms might feel that, man, when I give birth to a child, I'm bringing them into a very corrupt world. There's some of you that might not even want to have children because you're tempted to say, I can't have a child because I couldn't raise a child in this culture. But the Bible says we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. That's still part of the command of God. Athe Creek's doing our part, by the way. I've noticed even today, I saw 40 pregnant ladies walking around out there. I was like, wow, this is awesome. Happy Mother's Day. Athe Creekers, we're doing our part. That's great. But you might be thinking, man, bringing a life into this world, it's deadly. Because not only is it deadly, but all the stuff that our kids are exposed to. And even if you're a parent who's trying to insulate them from all the corruption and weird and all the screen time and all the Hollywood influences and schools and all the stuff that they're trying to push, oh man, it's a dangerous time to be a child. And it's a frustrating time to be a mom, let alone a parent. You know, this story is really interesting because Jochebed, she's living in similar times, worldly times, deadly times. Speaking of deadly, I mentioned my Department of Justice. I got to tour with Deb and Brooke and Rick and Naomi. We got, because we know a judge there that works for Pam Bondi and Vance Day. If you know Vance, he's got quite a story here from Oregon. But they basically canceled him here in Oregon. But then the Trump administration brought him on to be one of the chief attorneys for the Christian Liberties. So we went into the Department of Justice. Vance gave us this great tour throughout the whole place. It was awesome. But it was kind of cool because we were right near Pam Bondi's office, the attorney general, and there was a buzz and there were people running around like, oh, are we gonna get to see Pam? And they said, maybe, I see Pam. Well, we didn't get to see her, but we ran into a wall of security all of a sudden. They said, you can't come here. I said, no, you can't go back here. Why? Because she was doing a press conference in the next room over. So we ran down into Vance's office and we saw on the TV what she was saying. She was announcing the biggest drug bust in America's history and how it was, you know, all this fentanyl, you know, pounds and pounds, hundreds of pounds of fentanyl and more pills than you could count. And she said, where is this? Salem, Oregon. I was like, oh, great. You know, here we are, Oregon, at the tip of the spear of stupidity again. We're a joke, man. Oregon's a joke. Portland's a joke. And corruption is rampant. And you know, the amount of fentanyl, you know, I always hear, they measure how many people could die of this, you know, because hundreds of thousands of Americans are dying because of fentanyl. But, you know, it's really a sad thing. I was glad they caught this guy in Salem who was operating on the whole West Coast. And it was quite a deal if you saw it. But it just once again reminds you, not only is it a dangerous place in America to raise a child, but in Oregon, we've got even that much more against us. Our culture is so anti-God, irreligious. It's very much like Jochebed. And I think we can learn from Jochebed. I don't care if you're a mother, father, or 15-year-old teenage boy. We can learn from Jochebed. She's an amazing woman, and I admire her. What do I admire? Number one, I'll put it in five things. Number one, Jochebed was a woman of insight. She was a woman of insight. We see that in verse 2. It says here, and the woman, Jochebed, conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now, you're like, Brett, whatever. Every woman sees that her child is a goodly child. You're like, oh, that baby's got a face only a mother can love. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, sure, a mom's got... But if you go into the original language here, better translation is probably she saw something unique and different in her son, set apart for something different. The idea is she had this sense, an insight of that her son was gonna be something great. And so she upped her game knowing that. Now you say, well, Brett, isn't it true that every parent feels that way? Well, I hope so. I hope that y'all, that our moms and dads are seeing the potential in your kids and encouraging and with insight saying, you know, I see you as being something great someday. Too many parents approach it, you're just a little booger picking, diaper pooping problem. That's the way a lot of people look at babies today. But sadly, our world that's very anti-child these days, man, I love the parents that actually say, yeah, I see the flaws, whatever, that's humanity, but I also see insightfully the things. You know, when a baby turns 3 months old, you know, she that's when she has to change her plan. She's hiding the baby for 3 months. Why does she change her plan? Because, you know, when a baby's a newborn, their little lungs and their vocal cords, at 3 months, it's hard to hide a three-month-old baby. You moms of 3 months old know what I'm talking about. But also at 3 months, their little personality starts kicking into gear. It's an amazing thing. I love the 3 month level because suddenly you're like, wow. And as Debbie and I have observed, at 3 months, we saw in our children the very characteristics that we'd see at 33 years old. It's like, it's an amazing thing. You start to see how that little child, and the wise parent will be a parent of insight and see, wow, I see your strengths. I see what you have potentially. And start to instill within them characteristics and attributes and be the parent that actually steers that. That's what Jochebed, she gets right out of the gate. She's saying, I see something special. She's a woman of insight. She says, I'm not gonna let them get to this one. And I love that. I'm so thankful that I had insightful parents because they saw all the flaws in their little son, Brett. But they also saw things and they encouraged me when I was a kid. I remember when I was in elementary school and they saw that I tended to have leadership skills as a little, you know, eighth grade or eight-year-old, third grader or whatever. I remember in fourth grade, they encouraged me, Brett, you should you should choose to lead. And I thought, well, how am I supposed to lead in third grade or fourth grade? So in fourth grade, I ran to be the treasurer of my elementary school. I was the treasurer of all things. Then a few years later, I became the president of my elementary school. And then I was the president of my junior high school. And then I was the ASB president of my high school. And my parents encouraged, Brett, you're kind of a leader, that you have a personality that is like that. And they encouraged me to start teaching the Bible when I was 12 years old. Brett, you have a love for the word and you should share that with other kids. And they boosted that within me. I'm thankful because I didn't have that insight. I thought I'm the last guy that should be teaching the Bible in a Sunday school class. But my parents saw that and they encouraged that. Jochebed saw something special and she jumped onto the task. And I love that about her. She was a woman of insight. Number two, she was a woman of industry. Industry, what is that? Diligent, hardworking, and coming up with a game plan of how to save her son. Now, some of you might, I might know what some of y'all are thinking. Brett, her game plan, you give her credit for that, but it was kind of a harebrained idea. What do you mean, Brett, harebrained idea? Well, think about it. If you just look at it strictly, it's easy to look back and think, what a brilliant woman. But at the same time, you say, what she did, Brett, she made something to float in the water and she made it a basket. Is that a good idea? A basket to float in the water? Get it some Tupperware or something, but a basket made of like, well, yeah, but Brett, she was industrious. She daubed it with slime and pitch. She made this basket and then sort of patched it up with this. That's industrious. I have to say, she was a woman of interest. Okay, Brett, let's give her the basket and the slime and pits thing. But where did she put the baby? In the very river where they were slaughtering babies. She put the baby in the river where Egyptians, by law, were supposed to drown the baby. That's a harebrained idea. Now, there's something else I know about the Nile River. There's big crocodiles in the Nile River. Mom, are you sure you want to put her in the Nile River? That maybe you should take the baby and just run the opposite direction. Her idea might be a little harebrained, but you know what I love about God, among many things, is I've noticed that God will take a person who uses whatever they have and starts moving, and then God says, okay, that's a dumb idea, but I'm gonna work with that. The Lord is, that's my life story right there. Dumb ideas, and God says, well, okay, I'll do that, I'll fix that. I'll make that kind of work out for Brett. That's my life story, harebrained ideas. Can I just say, I love that when people just do something. By the way, with this crusade, you know, it's a lot of people criticizing with, you know, social media, especially after the ticket, you know, chaos last week. And one pastor told me years ago, and I thought this is a good word, you know, if somebody comes up and criticizes what you're doing and stuff, most of the time we feel very unsure of ourselves anyway, but people love to criticize. And we got that online this last week about the crusade, criticism. But the pastor said, Brett, you gotta just tell them this. I like what I'm doing more than what you're not doing. Usually the people sitting around taking shots and criticizing, they're doing nothing for the kingdom other than being critical and actually making things worse. A lot of people online did that this last week, just trying to add fuel to the fire that, oh, Athey Creek's just a mega church. They care only about themselves and they're gonna make a ton of money off this, which I remember thinking, man, their math is different than mine. Wow, that's not how it works out. But I love that Jochebed, you know, she just does something. The old saying is true, don't sit around and complain about what you can't do, but do what you can. It may be a harebrained idea, but that's what Jochebed, there's nothing she can do. So she gets a basket, daubs it with slime pitch, puts her baby in it, closes it up, puts it in the river and floats and says, okay, Lord, the rest is up to you. The old saying is true, you can't steer a parked car. And a lot of you are in life, well, Lord, I'm open to being used by you, but you're just sitting there. And the Lord's not gonna be able to steer you as you just sit there and do nothing. Sometimes you gotta move. I like the old foot song, I dare you to move. Because that's when the Lord starts saying, oh, you're moving. I can work with that. Even if you're moving the wrong direction, I think the Lord can correct that. But if you're just sitting there doing nothing, I love that Jochebed just did something. She didn't sit around and complain about what she couldn't do. She did what she could, and you gotta love that. Now, with all that, the Bible's full of those kinds of stories. The little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples, but what is that among so many? And Jesus says, I can work with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and I'll feed 5,000 people. That's the way the Lord works. So hopefully you and I, all of us, can be more like Jochebed. It might be a crazy idea to put her son in a basket with slime and then put it in the river with crocodiles and people want to kill her son. But look how the Lord intervened. Can I just say the Lord intervened, and didn't it work out pretty good for Jochebed? I mean, how many of you moms would like to be paid for breastfeeding? Like seriously, that's what happened. Remember, Miriam says, I know a Hebrew lady who could help nurse this baby that you just found. She says, okay, go get her. So she goes against Moses' real mother, and the mom comes, and the princess says, hey, I'll pay you to nurse this child. What a brilliant plan. Was that Jochebed's brilliance, or was that just the way God works things out? You know, the Bible says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ask for or even think about. That's what happened with Jochebed. And moms, that can happen with you. You say, but what is my skill set? I'm a bad mom. I don't stay happy enough, and I'm sometimes depressed, and sometimes I don't know what to do with my kids, and sometimes I get really angry. And hey, listen. Jochebed was not a perfect woman, but she did do what she could. She did her best, and the Lord says, I can work with that. And then he does exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask for or even think about. So Jochebed, a woman of insight, number one, a woman of industry, number two. Number three, to keep our eyes going, Jochebed was a woman of intrepidness. I love that word. What is intrepidness? A resolute fearlessness, fortitude, and endurance, bold courage. And I'm going to say that she was not afraid of the king's commandment. Well, Brett, I've read Exodus chapter 1 and 2, and how do you know that? That sounds like a really scary time. I know for sure that Jochebed was not afraid of the king's commandment. Well, Brett, I don't know about that. Well, I read a commentary one. Does anybody know what the best commentary on the Bible is? The Bible. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes that the Bible tells us that she was not afraid. And that's impressive to me, because that was a very fearful time. And can I just say, moms and dads and everybody here, we live in fearful times. And sadly, I see a lot of Christians being sucked into that fearfulness. Oh, things are going bad. And what about our children? What is going on? Ah, and everybody's freaking out and being fearful. That's not of God. The Lord has not given us over to that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what you and I are called to be, as people of bravery and boldness, courage. Jochebed was that woman, and I'll prove it here in a minute. She put the Bible in the river, the baby in the river, not the Bible. She put the baby in the river and left it to the Lord. And so much confidence did she have in the Lord that she was not afraid. That's amazing to me. Moms, sometimes I bet some of you feel like you're dropping your babies off in the Nile River when you drop them off to kindergarten. Especially if you dropped your kids off in a public school. We remember dropping our kids off into public school and watching them run off to the kindergarten class. And we just go, oh no, we're dropping them off with a bunch of crocodiles. Boy, the public school, you know, we had our kids mostly go through public school. We did some part-time homeschooling, and then, you know, because the school districts weren't covering the best and most important topics. So we supplemented with reading, writing, arithmetic, stuff like that that matters. You know, eventually, by the time my youngest Casey was in high school, she was way smarter than a lot of the curriculum that they were trying to do there. Plus, our other kids went through Tualatin High School, and that was radical enough. We had teachers at Tualatin High School trying to tell, you know, Brooke, my daughter, who, I wasn't worried about Brooke. I was more worried for her teacher, because Brooke's a pretty strong person. And she would just say, excuse me, you know, like she would correct, like this one harebrained teacher there said that Christians are just like Muslims, even in the area of violence. Christians are just as violent as Muslims are. And then she cited the whole thing about, you know, abortion clinics being blown up. It's just like Muslims blowing the same thing, equal numbers of people involved. And Brooke started citing statistics and called her out and said, that's so wrong. You're just wrong on everything there. And here's the numbers, here's the facts. Well, so much did Brooke make that she told Brooke not to speak in her class ever again. There's good teaching. We all know most of secular education now is not an education, it's an indoctrination. And so that's why most people are saying we're drawing our kids out. And I get that. And I used to try to push and say, let our kids be salt and light in the public schools. And I still sort of feel that in my heart. But man, your kids better be like rock solid and set before they, because you're putting them in the Nile River with crocodiles. But we're not supposed to be given over to a spirit of fear. By the way, some of you are like, Brett, we don't have that problem. Our kids go to a Christian school. Why are you holding your hand like that? I don't know. Somewhere they do that on paintings and it's dumb. Now, can I just say, mom and dad, if you send your kids to Christian school, congratulations. But did you know there's still kids handing out pornography to their buddies? Did you know in junior high, they're still sleeping with each other in Christian schools? There's still sex going on. See, I worry that some parents sort of say, oh, we don't have to worry about our training our kids because they go to Christian school. Can I just say there's some good Christian schools locally that have horrible Bible teachers. They have Bible teachers that don't even believe in the infallibility of the Word of God. They don't even take this as the Word of God anymore. And they're in your Christian schools. I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to disparage the Christian school. We have some wonderful Christian schools, but they're not perfect. And there's little sinners that go there and your kids will go there. You're still putting them in the Nile River. Well, brother, this is supposed to be Mother's Day. You're supposed to be encouraging us. I'm encouraging you to be like Jochebed, who was a woman of intrepidness, and she knew her child was in a fearful situation, but she still was one who trusted in the Lord. What do you do? Send your kid to public school, private school, homeschool? What do you do? I just say pray about it, because every one of your kids are different. Every one of your schools are different. Some schools are better than others. But I would say pray, pray, pray. And whatever you do, keep praying, even when you send them to school. There's something else I want to say, because We have some amazing people in our church that have one of the toughest jobs, that it's one of the most unsung heroes in our church, and that is the Christian teachers in public schools. Can I just say, we love you. If you're a Christian teacher in a public school, we love you and we pray for you all the time. My daughter is one of them. She teaches in a public school. And yes, my daughter Casey, she's been teaching for 8 years now, fifth graders. And the boys had to run into her classroom. Miss Menner, what are these boxes in the boys' bathroom? She had explained, oh, those are tampon dispensers that our school district put in. That's in her little school, little country school, public school. Now, good for those kids, Casey's not gonna teach crazy stuff. And fortunately, they don't make her. She's probably one of their best teachers, in my humble opinion. She's a great teacher. But she, you know, the agendas and stuff, man, our Christian teachers, you and I should be praying for our Christian teachers in public schools. They're the last stand, and it's not looking good. By the way, if you're a Christian teacher in a public school, we want to know who you are because we want to stand with you. Let us know. Call the church office. Brett said call, and we're going to take your name. We want to know, and if there's any way we can support you as a church. If you find yourself in trouble because you're unwilling to teach the pronouns or whatever, we want to stand with you. Don't go by yourself. The NEA is not going to help you, but the Church of Jesus Christ wants to stand with you. So we love you. Keep up the good work. Don't give up. Now, with that said, Jochebed, she had this bravery, intrepidness. I love that. Well, number four on the list, Jochebed was a woman of insight, industry, intrepidness, and number four, influence. Oh, now you're talking, Pastor Brett. She was an influencer. Was it Instagram? Was she on X? Was she on Facebook? MySpace? It was a long time ago. No, not that kind of influencer. And can I just say, I'm just gonna make a guess. This isn't a scientific study, but I'm gonna say 99% of the influencers out there should not be influencing anyone. The influencers I see, Taylor Swift is a big influencer. She's influencing your kids. If you're an Athey Creeker and your daughter loves Taylor Swift, do you realize Taylor's agenda is profound? LGBTQ, it's all about that. And if you let your daughter get into Taylor like nobody's business, oh, she's so great, she's just a nice person. She's a nice person. I think she's a Christian. Hello, mom and dad, wake up. I've seen this as a youth pastor, children's pastor over years. I watch parents, you know, let their kids get into the various famous people and the influence they have on your children is gonna be profound. Mom, dad, you're the influencer that needs to matter. And Mother's Day, I want to remind you, moms, your influence you have over your children is going to be so important. And watch out, because the world wants to influence your children, and the influencers out there are really a bad effect on your children. So what does a real influencer look like? Well, you can sort of extrapolate from the story. Moses was radically influenced by his mother. She got to raise him, she got to train him, and she got to do this until he was of age, whatever that is. And there's debate of how old Moses was before Jochebed had to release him as the prince of Egypt. But probably in his late teens, that's what most scholars believe. So Jochebed nursed him as a baby and raised him up until he was probably a teenager. Then she had to turn him over to be the prince or the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which is an idiom of saying the prince of Egypt. How do we know that Jochebed had influence on him? Well, I think it's because of his actions. And I think you can see a work of a mother that worked hard to influence her son. Where do we know that? Well, I want to bring it all together with some final things that are spoken about Moses and about Jochebed and Amram. All of them are mentioned in what we like to call the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Would you flip over there with me in your Bible? Just go to the New Testament, and kind of toward the end of the New Testament, you got the book of Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. You got Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, then James. It's all in that little section there. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, The Hall of Faith, it's kind of like the Hall of Fame. You know, like if you're a sports fan, they have the Athletes Hall of Fame. And if you're Joe Montana, you get in there. Why? Because you completed more passes than everybody else. So you're in the Hall of Fame. If you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's because you sold more records than everybody else. If you're in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, why are you there? Well, it's because of great faith that was demonstrated. So question before you look at it, why would Moses be included into the Hall of Faith? Was it because he parted the Red Sea? That's a pretty good trick. Come on, parting the Red Sea, Moses, Hall of Faith, slam dunk. Or maybe not that. Maybe it's that he led 2.5 million people on a camping trip for 40 years. That's a pretty big thing. A Hall of Faith are right there. Or maybe it's he carried the two tables of stone down from Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. I mean, Moses could be in the Hall of Faith for any number of reasons, but why was he actually, the Bible tells us why he's in the Hall of Faith right here. Let's take a look. It's Hebrews 11, 23, but it's not just Moses, it's his mom and dad. They make the Hall of Faith too. Check it out. It says in 11:23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Remember the insight part, both Amram and Jochebed. They saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. There it is right there. That's what it says. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's why I told you, Jochebed wasn't afraid. She wasn't a fearful woman. Man, that's impressive. How we need brave men and women who aren't fearful. We are to be of love and power and of a sound mind, not fearful. You gotta love that. So that's why Jochebed and Amram make it to the Hall of Faith. Their story's here because they saw that their son was a goodly child and they were not afraid of the king killing the babies. That's impressive. But it says in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By the way, even though that word "the" is not in italics, a lot of Greek experts in the Greek language say that the should not actually be there. It's more of a title than it is a description. So it's really, he refused to be called, quote, son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's the idea here. Choosing, verse 25, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, that's the Jewish people, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him as invisible. Did you see Jochebed characteristics in there? Notice that Jochebed was not afraid of the king, but notice in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He was a chip off the old block. Moses was just like his mom. Where did he get those characteristics? Why did he choose to live with slaves and be part of the Jews instead of being a prince of Egypt where he was powerful and had wealth and had whatever he wanted? I believe it's because Jochebed, in those years, she nursed him as a baby to the years he was a teenager. She trained him in what was right. Oh, the influence of a mother. The powerful, powerful influence of a mother. And I love that she was one who trained Moses because this was all part of God's plan to use Moses to be one of the greatest leaders that ever walked the face of the earth. And you can really give credit to the mother in the story when you read between the lines. Jochebed, what an impressive woman. Well, with all that said, Jochebed was not only a woman of insight, industry, intrepidness, and influence, she was also, finally, number five, was a woman of endurance. But Brett, that's not an I word. Yeah, but it sounds like it, endurance. Moses, his life can be split into three major segments. And they're 40-year chunks. Now, Josephus, the ancient historian, writes about Jochebed that she lived really to be very, 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 very old. Moses lived to be 120. Rabbis teach to this day, the Jewish rabbis, this isn't in the Bible, so you don't want to take it as the word of God, but the rabbis teach, oral tradition has passed down that Jochebed lived to see where Moses actually brought the people to the property line of Israel. Not going into Israel, but Jochebed got to see looking into Israel. So she really saw the fruition of her son's ministry, which means she must have been really old. So question, what's Moses, she had to endure and through a lot of good times and bad times. And you gotta give it to Jochebed for doing that. See, she not only knew Moses during the time when he was young, from 0 to 40, the first chunk, they're in 40 year chunks, he spent his whole life from 0 to 40 becoming somebody. Then from 40 to 80, he spent his life becoming nobody. Remember, he left Egypt, forsook Egypt, but he wasn't living in Egypt with the slaves. He went out to the land of Midian, which was a whole nother people group and nation. He lived with the Midianites out in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness and became, and you gotta study Egyptology to really understand this, he became a shepherd. You know, what are the worst jobs in America that you can think of? Like the last job you'd ever wanna have in America. They should do a show called Dirty Jobs or something like that. So, what's the worst jobs? Well, to an Egyptian, the worst job you could ever have, according to their own history, was to be a shepherd. So the Egyptians would always make their slaves be the shepherds. So Moses was raised for 40 years to be a prince of Egypt. And then what does he become? A shepherd. The lowest of the low of all Egyptians. And he does that for 40 years. So the first 40, he becomes somebody, prince of Egypt. The next 40 years, he becomes nobody. And then the last 40 years of his life, the burning bush, he's called to lead the people, and he find Moses leading everybody in the 40th final section. He started his ministry at 80 years old. By the way, can I just give a shout out to the grandmas here? Your job's not done. Moses' ministry didn't even start until he was 80. So God can do anything. But Moses was a guy who had some ups and downs, high places and low places. And guess what? Jochebed was there enduring through it all. When we were in Washington, D.C., we were getting a ride from a, you know, Uber driver. And she was this nice lady. And I noticed there's a lot of Christians over in Virginia. It's not like Portland. I kind of forget sometimes. You leave Portland, you're like, you land in a place, you're like, everybody's nice. And they all love Jesus. It's so weird. Then you come back to Portland. As soon as you get to the terminal of the airport where the people go to get on, suddenly all the big hoops and the nose rings and the weird backpacks and the rainbow flags. Now, oh, we're at the flight to get back to Portland. But this Uber driver, she found out I was a pastor and we were talking on this trip and she said, oh, you know, my son, I've been a Christian, you know, but my son, when he was a little boy, he used to, if we didn't make it to church, he would get out his Bible and preach a sermon as a little kid to our family. He was a sermon preacher. But she got kind of sad. She said, but my son's not walking with the Lord right now. And I asked, how old is he? He's 22. And I said, man, don't give up. And I reminded her of that scripture. There's a promise in the Proverbs. I told her, you know, in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Sometimes as a mother, you're going to have to endure through times where your kids aren't listening to you. They think you're wrong. They think you were wrong about Jesus and all the stuff you tried to teach them. But you know what? Don't give up. Endure to the end. Keep your kids in prayer. There's nothing like the prayers. I'm convinced that God has a special place for the prayers of a mother. Don't give up on that. Well, with all that said, this is what we look at. This woman, Jochebed, what an amazing woman. And again, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, she's one to watch. She's one to emulate. A woman who was able to get through the most difficult of times. May we be people, Athey Creekers be people of insight, industry, intrepidness, influence, and also endurance, even to the very end. Now, some of you that are watching online or maybe here, maybe your mother dragged you to church today. You have a drug problem. She drug you to church. I'll tell you, man, you know, if you sense that there's something special here in this place, it's not because of us. It's not because of the people in this room. What's special about this place your mom dragged you to is because we're all horrible sinners who God has beautifully and graciously forgiven. We're a bunch of people who have repented of our sin, like your mom, and accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior from our sins, from death and hell. And the Bible gives us this beautiful promise of eternal life through Christ. And man, you would make your mother's day if you accepted Christ today. Just repent of your sins. Maybe you thought being a Christian is one thing. Most people get it wrong. What is a Christian? I'll tell you, it's real simple. A Christian is a person who realizes they're a horrible sinner and they need to repent before God. Lord, I'm a sinner and I admit it. And then you humbly say, Lord, and because you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, I accept that gift of salvation. Jesus died in your place. You just have to receive it. And when you receive it, say, Lord, I accept Jesus as my savior, the one who saved me from my sin. Then you accept that, then it's a free gift. You didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, but it's there for the taking, and you walk out of here forgiven. Doesn't make you perfect, it means you're perfectly forgiven if you accept Christ. If that's you, after the service, I'm gonna have pastors hanging out up at the front right here. They'll just be hanging out with their Bible in hand. They'd love to pray with you. And you can accept Christ on Mother's Day. Make your mom's Mother's Day amazing. If you're watching online, call the church office. We'd love to pray with you about becoming a Christian and accepting Christ. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you set up. What a day to do that. But the rest of you, may we find the way to be more like Jochebed of the Bible. In Jesus' name, let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for this great woman of the Hall of Faith. Lord, we see this woman as someone to really model ourselves. Lord, help us to be insightful, industrious. Lord, I pray that we would also be brave and not fearful. Lord, so many people given over to a spirit of fear. May that not be the case for the mothers of Athey Creek. We also pray, Lord, for just that influence, the best influence that we could ever have on our own children, Lord. May we be good influences, but also to have endurance even to the end. Bless these, your people. May all the moms be blessed today. I pray, Father, for even the mothers that feel like failures. Lord, we know that you are the one who redeems. You're the one who saves. You're the ones who heals. I pray that they would feel that redemptive, saving, healing love that you have for them. Bless all the people as we go our way now. In Jesus' name, amen.